You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
More and more, Kiwis are opting to eat less meat. A Colmar Brunton survey showed 34% of Kiwis are either eating less meat or none at all. That's over a million people in New Zealand who are limiting their meat consumption, so-called flexitarians, or adopting a plant-based vegetarian or vegan diet. There are a number of reasons why people may decide to make the shift, the most obvious being animal welfare, but there are also health reasons. Most common recently has been the environmental effects of the meat industry. Research by the Johns Hopkins University found that by choosing plant-based meals just two-thirds of the time, you can cut your food-related emissions by nearly 60%. Taking advantage of this new trend is the plant-based meat industry. In 2018 to 2019, Australians spent $150 million on plant-based meat alternatives, and their market is projected to increase to $3 billion worth by 2030, so we can only imagine that New Zealand will follow a similar trend. But increasingly, a question that people are asking about these meat alternatives are they healthy? Food Frontier, an Australia and New Zealand non-profit think tank on alternative proteins, and Terry Lichtenstein, a leading Australian accredited practicing dietitian, recently published a report that looked into just that. I spoke to CEO and founder of Food Frontier, Thomas King, about their findings, and started, first of all, just by asking him exactly how we define what makes something healthy.
Yeah, it's a big question. I would say there are a whole variety of factors that inform the healthfulness of any food or food product that range from nutritional content to the ingredients and added ingredients that may be in that product through to how it's processed and made, and then things like food safety considerations, so whether there may be risk of certain bacteria. And our report that we've just produced on health in the context of plant-based meat products touches on all of those areas.
He then went on to expand on exactly which kinds of meat the report focused on and what it found in terms of their nutritional value.
The report focused on plant-based meat products, which are those sausages and burgers and mince and schnitzels that we see landing on more of our supermarket shelves and restaurant menus. And so as these products, these plant-based products become more available, more consumers are asking the question, are they a healthier choice? And that's what our report set out to unpack. And we found that of the 95 products we analysed across New Zealand and Australia, that on average, plant-based meats are nutritionally superior or comparable to similar conventional meats, so burger for burger, sausage for sausage. They also don't have the same individual public health risks of conventional meat, and they have some of the benefits of plant-based eating, like 65% of products being a good source of fibre and considerably lower saturated fat. So conventional meat equivalents had anywhere from double to five times the amount of saturated fat compared with plant-based sausages and burgers and bacon. So it was really interesting to see what came out of it. And we looked at a whole range of products, and things like sodium, which is one nutrient of concern in any food product, but particularly for prepackaged food products, most categories of plant-based meat alternatives had lower sodium than their conventional meat counterparts.
I then asked Thomas to address the concern, however, that is prevalent in meat alternatives, that they may be either low in protein or iron and even the micronutrient B12, and asked him what they found in that regard.
So we looked at the nutrients that are required to be labelled on the back of products. So protein, fat, saturated fat, sugars, dietary fibre, and sodium. And our research found that in terms of protein, plant-based meats are at least comparable, if not superior, in their protein content. They have less fat and they have considerably less saturated fat, similar or less sodium across most product categories. And those are really the categories that are of most, nutrients rather, that are of most interest and concern to consumers and to healthcare professionals. In terms of micronutrients, which aren't required to be labelled on products, it's worth consumers checking the individual products to see whether nutrients like iron are present in plant-based meat alternatives. They are in some, but not in others. There is one New Zealand example, though, a Kiwi company called Sunfed, and their products are available in New Zealand supermarkets, and their chicken alternative has considerably more iron compared with conventional chicken. So it really varies from product to product.
I then asked Thomas to address another common criticism that plant-based meats don't give you your protein in kind of this full package form, but rather as individual amino acids, and asked him what he thought of that.
So that's actually a little bit of a myth that has been floating around for many years. In fact, if people eat a variety of plant-based foods, they can get adequate intake of all essential amino acids. And in fact, there are some plant proteins, single plant proteins, that contain all eight essential amino acids, like soy and quinoa. And so again, providing people are eating a balanced diet, they're eating meat alternatives or whole plant proteins in combination with other foods, they shouldn't have to worry about getting all essential amino acids.
And so the second finding of that report is that these plant-based meat alternatives also don't pose the same public health risks as their meat counterparts. So I asked Thomas exactly what health risks we were talking about when we talk about meat.
There are a number of additional areas that we looked at when considering health in the context of these products and people reducing their meat consumption. We know that meat products can present risk of foodborne illness. Things like salmonella bacteria can be quite prevalent on meats like chicken. Plant-based alternatives don't pose that risk because there's no animal, there's no intestinal tract that's been involved in that process, and therefore that bacteria is far less likely to end up on a plant-based meat. And then if we look further upstream in the food chain, there's issues like zoonosis, where pathogens can spread from animals to humans. We've seen this in the past with pandemics like swine flu and bird flu, where intensively farmed animal populations in our food systems can give rise to these new viruses. And so over time, by reducing our reliance on systems of industrial animal agriculture, it can reduce one of the key risk factors in issues like zoonosis. And then at an individual level, we know from a wealth of research spanning decades and recommendations from global health authorities that high meat consumption, particularly red and processed meat, can contribute to, or is believed to contribute to, certain common diseases like colorectal cancer, cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes. And so we're recommended to limit our consumption, particularly of red and processed meats. However, last year, Kiwis ate more than a third above the recommendations for red meat consumption, and us Aussies ate more than double the recommended amount of red meat consumption. So again, that's where products like plant-based meat alternatives can play a role in supporting consumers to make healthier choices.
Another contentious point I put to Thomas was the criticisms that people have of soy, which is often prevalent in these meat-based alternatives, in fact, in terms of the effects that it has on human health, in terms of its effects on hormones. So I asked Thomas to once again respond to this.
There has been for quite some years about the impacts of soy on human health, and what the body of research suggests, and that's research that's been done on humans, is that the components within soy have actually been shown to have positive health benefits in individuals that partook in the studies. Things like alleviating hot flushes, improving arterial health, reducing risk of breast cancer and prostate cancer. So interestingly, there's actually a lot of evidence to suggest that soy consumption can have positive health benefits. In terms of concerns around whether soy may impact our hormones, soy contains phytoestrogen, which is like a plant form of estrogen. And because we're not plants, we would need to eat an enormous quantity or an enormously concentrated quantity of soy in order for it to have any kind of impact on our hormones. That's what the research suggests.
I then put to Thomas the perception, or at least, that these alternatives are somehow an alien concoction of chemicals that are created in a lab and not in fact real food. And so what he had to say to that.
So plant-based meat products are made from a combination of plant proteins, oils, spices, seasonings, and can also contain other plant derivatives like common food additives. But just like conventional sausages and schnitzels, they sometimes contain the same ingredients. And in terms of the number of additives that they may contain, it's roughly the same compared with their conventional counterparts. So our research found that most plant-based meats have on average 5 added ingredients, whereas conventional equivalents will have 4. And so they're alternatives to products that are inherently processed and contain multiple ingredients. And our report really sought to answer the question, are they a healthier choice? It's not, are they the healthiest choice? Because we know that eating more whole plant foods, fruits and vegetables and nuts and whole grains is really where we should be aiming for. But we need to recognize that most consumers make food choices based foremost on taste and convenience. And so plant-based sausages and burgers and schnitzels can support them on that journey by offering an easy swap for the kinds of meals and recipes that they're used to.
And now obviously the elephant in the room here is that these foods are obviously not as healthy as their whole food plant protein counterparts, such as beans or chickpeas. But I was interested in the comments that Thomas made about them being important as a transition food.
I mean, it's considering the broader context in which people make food and dietary choices and recognizing that if we need to eat less meat, these products can support consumers on that journey by giving them what they're wanting in a sausage or a burger or a meatball, but without the same level of health impacts and fewer food safety risks as well.
Another problem with that there, though, is that these meat alternatives are expensive and oftentimes more expensive than the meat alternatives and definitely more expensive than their plant whole food counterparts. So I asked Thomas, I mean, what does that really mean for the reality and the feasibility of people cutting meat out of their diet?
The reality is this industry is still fairly young and growing, and like with any emerging category of products, because they're produced at smaller scales compared with their equivalents, in this case conventional meat products, they often command a higher price point. But we're already starting to see in markets around the world that price fall from what it was even a few years ago, and we're really confident that it will continue to fall. Theoretically, the process of producing a burger by going directly to plants and making it from that rather than feeding an animal and raising an animal and having to, you know, process that animal is a less resource intensive process. So it's actually requires fewer inputs and costs. The only reason that conventional animal meat is the price that it is because of the economies of scale. The fact that it's we produce that product en masse. And in the case of chickens and pigs, which are some of the most widely consumed animals, types of meat, they're very intensively farmed in order to reduce that price point for the consumer. And as we've just spoken about, that presents risks in itself in terms of bacteria. And of course, there's growing community concerns around animal welfare. So it's really about rebalancing our diets to make sure that people aren't over-consuming meat and that they're taking steps towards eating more plant-based foods. And these products can play a role. But at the same time, if people want to eat more sort of traditional meat-free meals, whole vegetables and nuts and tofu and all those good things, that's an excellent step in the right direction.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.